Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is May the 12th, 2015. And with me in the studio is Lee Cantor and Mary Jo Bowser. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Sam.
How'd I do?
You did great. How are you today?
I'm fine, Bonnie. How are you?
No, stop. He always calls people the wrong names. That's why he's doing that.
That's all right. It's a great day. It's a spring day here in Atlanta. The weather is beautiful. Pollen's down. Traffic's horrible, but we're glad to be here. And we have a great show today. We have some ladies from Golden Living here in Atlanta. We have Pauline Daly, who is the admissions director, and Kimberly Collins, the director of rehabilitation. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We certainly are glad you're with us, glad you made it. Just for our listening audience, the reason we're a little bit behind is because they had trouble finding a parking spot in the parking lot. Typical Atlanta. If it's not the traffic, it's one thing or another. We're going to get right into it. We're just going to begin. I'll begin with Kimberly. Ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how did you get to Golden Living, and then we'll jump over to Pauline in the same. So, Kimberly, take it away.
I'm an occupational therapist by background. I've been in therapy almost 10 years with Aegis Therapies, which is the provider of therapy at Golden Living Buildings, for about five. Moved to Golden Living. Just, I wanted a change of pace from the hospital I had been working at, and I fell in love with it. So,
and why did you fall in love with Golden Living versus the hospital? That will help our listening audience a little bit.
You get to know the patients a little bit better. They're there a little bit longer than they are in the hospital. So you really get a great rapport going with the patient and the families.
Great, great. We appreciate that. Pauline, tell us about yourself.
Okay, well, by trade, I am a registered nurse, and I began my career in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I didn't think that was a Southern accent, Pauline.
No, I'm still Beantown is my hometown. And I started out as an admissions office in Massachusetts, and it was very different then. It was much smaller. It was new industry. And then I took some time off to raise a family, and then we moved here to Atlanta. And I've been in the business here in Atlanta now 15 years.
What brought you to Atlanta?
My husband opened an office for Motorola.
Great.
On Paces Ferry. So
great. Yeah. Well, there's very few natives from around here. I don't think anyone in this studio. Are you, Lee? You're not.
No.
You're from Florida.
All of our kids are, though, right?
Yes, mine are. Yeah.
I don't lay claim to them. I don't know about you.
Yeah, you didn't say where you were from, Kimberly.
I was originally born in California. I've lived in Georgia most of my life, though.
Oh, you have? And you have some children, little ones.
I do. I have a five-year-old boy and a almost three-year-old girl.
And they just got back from the beach. I know that because I saw her the day she left.
Kimberly,
I only had half her attention.
For our listening audience, you are an occupational therapist.
Yes.
Tell them at a very high level what that means. What is it that you do?
So it gets its name from everything that occupies your daily life.
Ooh.
So in this setting in particular, we work on bathing, dressing, home management skills, moving around the kitchen and the bathroom, and then we work on the strength and coordination of their hands and their arms.
Okay, now, it, to a layperson, if you're not in the industry, what do you mean? How do you train people for the bathroom? You train people? I mean, that's, you know, come on, let's be real.
So, you know, imagine you've had a stroke and you only have one arm. How do you pull up your pants? Experienced mothers are very aware of this.
Hey, Lee, I want you to try that next time. One hand. Left hand.
Your
left
hand. They can follow you around after some of your late nights. You need some help in that area.
It never stops, does it?
No. Also, sometimes after a surgery, you're not allowed to bend over or do certain movements. And so we have equipment that we can teach them that so that they can do it themselves, and as opposed to having their loved ones help them.
But you really do have to relearn, don't you?
You do. I mean,
The basics. That's and you know, I mean, but again, I encourage someone to stop in the picture that was just painted. Try it next time. Try to pull your pants up with one hand.
Well, you did that exercise with the Alzheimer's group where they disorient you, right?
Yes.
Now, do you have something like that that would teach or give a lay person an example of
So you have a reference point. There is a program called the Virtual Dementia Tour, and it is participants that go through it, they are desensitized. Mm-hmm. Big rubber gloves with popcorn in the end. Glasses that distorts everything, headphones you don't hear, and then you're told to go do about your activities of daily living. And I mean, it's opens your mind.
You probably see that every day, don't you?
I say we don't have anything formal, but we could definitely put something together.
Yeah. it gives a layperson a kind of a more empathy, right? Kind of look through their eyes a little bit and understand the frustrations that they're going through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pauline, I'm going to jump over to you and give the listening audience a painted picture of what Golden Living is all about.
Okay. Well, Golden Living is a skilled nursing and rehab facility. Our primary focus is the rehabilitation for patients who are being discharged from the hospital. And they come into our facility for the therapy services and or skilled nursing, which means if they have IV antibiotic therapy, if they have wound care, we have a wound care team that will assist them in healing those wounds so they can get back home.
Let's develop this topic a little bit about where rehab facilities, rehab facilities come into play as it relates to today's environment from inpatient stay going home. I mean, I don't think the general, let me rephrase this. I suspect that the general listening population still has the idea you go to the hospital, you see your primary care physician, you've got some other specialists taking care of you, they take care of you till you're well enough to go home, you go home and all is well and dandy. That's not the way it works today. So no. Either one of you jump in there.
Jump in.
No. Well, patients today coming from the hospital, first the hospital, you do not stay in the hospital
as long. That's right.
They really move you out very quickly. And we are basically a transitional unit. That's what we have developed. So the patient is stable enough to leave the hospital, and they come over to our facility just so they can get stronger before they go home. And that could be they may stay in our facility for a week, up to 3 months, if they've had a major stroke and really need a lot of therapy.
Why is it that what has pushed the change from the hospital as you and I know it to today?
Managed care contracts, and Medicare replacement.
It comes down to money. It comes down to what Medicare will or will not pay for. And the four of us, Lee, we know that Medicare has historically over the last, who knows how long, 10, 15, maybe even 20 years, reduced reimbursement rates continuously and continue to do so. So therefore, providers must do what they got to do and move on very, very quickly.
Yeah, that's true. Now, when the patients come into our facility, if they're a managed care or a commercial insurance, we have to get an authorization from the insurance company. Right. So you're really having an insurance reviewer is going to make all your decisions for you.
And Pauline, I'll just make your day, just so you know, I spent 22 years in managed care. Basically, I was the guy on the other end of the phone from you.
Oh, that's not good, Sam. That's not good, yeah.
Well, I was good, but yeah.
Does managed care, okay, this is from a lay person. Managed care just means private insurance? What's managed care?
I'll let Pauline jump in. It can be either. I mean, Medicare does the same thing, except they have their rules and regulations. I mean, managed care is nothing but a level of communication between providers trying to maximize the effectiveness of the treatment at the lowest cost. And those and unfortunately, those two things sometimes are opposed to each other.
Well,
I mean,
you just got to
face it.
But yeah, you typically have your traditional Medicare, and then you have your managed care, everything but that. But your traditional
but Medicare is managed too. So don't anyone get confused. It's all there's always someone looking at the cost factor and going back to the clinicians and saying, the cost factor is this. You've got to do something to change the cost factor.
Well, we just had a little lesson a couple of weeks ago from a great Medicare expert. But Medicare is the main Medicare only pays for hospital. You guys are another part, right?
Well, it's under Medicare Part A that they do the hospital and the skilled stay with us. There's a Medicare Part B that if you needed to do outpatient therapy, which we also provide, that we tap into that portion.
Yeah, in short, A is for hospitalization, which they do fall under. And it's kind of a misnomer, but they do fall under that. And then B is for outpatient.
Do they have a maximum time that they can stay with you?
Each benefit period, they get up to 100 days, but they have to meet the skill criteria for
each of those
days.
Which means they participate.
Right.
They have to participate. They have to show progress in order to use that full 100 days. But, you know, we like to get people out into that next level of care as quickly as possible so that hopefully they won't have a relapse. But if they do, they still have days that they can use.
And what is typically after you come from the acute hospital setting to the rehab setting, then what would be the next level of care?
It could be home with loved ones. It could be an assisted living facility. It could be a personal care home, whatever is appropriate for that patient.
Or home with skilled care nursing. Coming in, right?
Right. Or home with home health therapy.
That's great. Why Golden Living? Tell us a little bit about Golden Living and who they are and whatnot.
And what they do.
I would say it's a great collaboration between the nursing staff and the therapy staff. I've worked in two separate Golden Living buildings, and both of them have had that great collaboration. And that's what really when the patients get the best level of care and they progress the best when you have both parties working together.
Now, can you walk us through what happens? Like, say I have my dad is older and the hospital discharges him. Do they say go to Golden Living? Like, what's the process look like just from a person going through it? I mean, are they going on the internet Googling rehab? I mean, how does it work that...
This is Pauline's specialty.
Okay, this is what I do. The hospitals use an electronic referral system. Mm-hmm. There's two systems that we use right now in Atlanta, Allscripts and eDischarge or Curaspan. So once they put that information into the computer, then we review it, screen it, and verify the insurance, and make sure that the patient is meeting criteria to come in under Medicare or the managed care. The hospital then will let the family know that we have an acceptance for your family member to go to maybe Golden Living Dunwoody or Golden Living Kennistone.
So it's just a rotation?
It's not a rotation at all. The family always makes the final decision where they want to go.
Right.
But they usually will tell the family to go out and tour at least three facilities so that they can make their choice based on what they see and also speaking with the admission directors at each facility.
Do they give them three facilities?
Sometimes they do in the area we work. We're by Northside and St. Joe's. So they will give Golden Living, and I will give our competitors Northeast and UniHealth.
But now, is this something that, okay, if I know my parent is going in for something, would it be in my best interest to kind of preemptively check out these places if I kind of get the idea that he's going to go to rehab after this?
If you're aware of it, part of my job, I should say it's a lot of my job, is educating the family. They really are novices when they
come
in.
Right, this is the first time. You do this every day, but for a family member, this is like a chaotic, emotional situation.
It definitely
But
is.
Making the wrong choice could be devastating.
Well, that's where you spend all your time. first educating them what their expectation is and exactly what can we do for their loved one.
And I think that's important, Pauline. It mm-hmm. would it not be driven as much by what type of rehab that the patient needs as it would? I mean, let's say it's an orthopedic mm-hmm. case. I don't know if you how deeply are you involved in orthopedic cases versus a stroke or, you know.
It varies every week.
I would say, yeah, we get them all. Mm-hmm. Okay. People recovering from surgeries, strokes, orthopedics. We actually have, we're developing a new relationship with Reliant Renal. So we're getting a lot of people on dialysis. Aegis has always had a very strong relationship with Hanger Prosthetics, and we are building that relationship and making it even stronger. So we get a lot of diagnoses and can handle just about anything.
Let's go back and kind of develop the topic of the renal program, because I know that's new and something that is hopefully going to be a growth area for you.
Well, it is. We've already added two chairs. It's primarily for our short-term patients who are coming in to the facility.
We actually have in-house dialysis.
Right
now. So it really is a win-win for the patients and for the facility. The patients win. It's a shorter chair time. It's only 2 hours. They go 5 days a week. They do not have to be transported out to an outside dialysis center, which many times the patients, if they do go outside, are outside for at least 5 to 6 hours a day, and that impacts the therapy time.
I hadn't thought about that, but I've done this all my whole life. But mm-hmm. here you have someone who goes into a acute hospital for a condition unrelated to the dialysis. They are a dialysis patient, but it's unrelated. They have to go to therapy for the acute problem, but they still have to maintain their dialysis treatment.
Right.
Yeah, I hadn't thought, and just what you said, without this unit, you're taking them out of your rehab unit, sending them to
somewhere
a clinic.
Else. What a nightmare
them back.
That is,
it
right?
is. It's a nightmare.
It is with the transportation, because many times getting back to Atlanta traffic. Sometimes, particularly if they have a chair time at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, getting them back into the facility, really is a long delay.
Little personal story. Last year, I can't remember when it was, but one of the two big snowfalls, and we had a client who we served continuously, but she was in dialysis. Well, the caregiver couldn't get there because of the snow.
Right.
And guess what? She had to have her dialysis. And if thank goodness my son had a four-wheel drive truck, because without it, and I had to go and drop her off and then come back, and you're right, Pauline, 4 hours later and pick her up.
Wow.
Yeah.
And take her. This is a great program. We just had the grand opening, and it's a beautiful unit. And, you know, the patients do have a choice, though, if they still want to go out to their dialysis center because they may have established ties.
Right.
It's more of a social for them. Or if they would prefer to stay in the building, and then Kim will arrange their therapy time either before they go downstairs for their dialysis, or she will see them as soon as they're finished. But we know where they are. It's easy. We just go down and get them and bring them back upstairs to their room.
And this program, are you now up and running?
We are now up and running.
You are doing dialysis in-house now.
In-house.
Good.
Yeah,
great.
We have the first facility that I'm aware of in this area that is doing in-house dialysis.
Good. Mm-hmm. What is it that, I know, Kim, you mentioned that you like the collaboration, but what is it, Pauline, that you like about Golden Living so much?
This is my eighth year, so obviously I do love
you
the
do
Golden
like something
Living.
There.
I really do. I've enjoyed working with the staff. We have great teamwork. It's just a great company to work for. I live fairly close, which also helps mm-hmm. with the traffic, but I think mainly my job, I love educating the families. It really just amazes me how little knowledge they do have, particularly the children of the aging
adults. You got to stop and think. And you and I mean, it's so different than when 20 years ago. And again, 20 years ago, everyone had a primary care physician or a family physician. Mm-hmm. And they went to the hospital. That person came and saw you. There was a specialist if you needed that. You stayed. I mean, I had a fractured arm when I was playing football in high school. It wasn't a compound. It was closed, but I had such swelling. I was inpatient. Get this. Inpatient. 7 days. 7 days in bed with my arm elevated because of swelling. Now you tell me.
So what would it be today?
Oh, they wouldn't even admit you today.
No, they would not even admit you. There is criteria now even to be admitted into the hospital. They can hold you in observation for 3, 4, 5 days.
Yeah, they'd put you in a splint and send you home and say, go see the orthopedist.
I'll kind of, again, expand on that. The situation that I just spoke of, and my son, who even 10 years ago had open heart surgery at Emory, had a bad valve. He was inpatient, literally inpatient, 47 hours, and they discharged him home. He wasn't there 2 days. Yeah. And they discharged him home.
Not to a rehab, huh?
No, to rehab. Home.
To rehab. Wow. And my husband had open heart surgery 20 years ago, and he was in the hospital for 4 days.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to ask a question. So if they, when they get out, speaking of the primary care physician and things, when they get out of the hospital, where do you get your instructions?
We get some instructions from the doctor at the hospital, but mostly it comes from the doctor that's following them at Golden Living.
All right, now explain that. They come to you for rehab, but there is now a physician, not on staff that's following the rehab process. Is that correct?
No, Golden Living has, what, 8 physicians?
8 now.
So they're handed off to a Golden Living physician.
Okay.
Correct, and they're the ones that follow their stay while they're in the building.
Is that a tough thing? I mean, a doctor in the hospital has got to communicate with somebody there, right, to tell you guys what they need.
I want to say they write out all their discharge orders, you know, and the physicians review everything and, you know, do tweak things, you know, every once in a while. But
now what happens after they leave you? Who becomes the quarterback of their care?
We hope that they recommend Griswold Home Care to go home with everybody.
No, the physician. Like, the physician.
Hopefully back to their primary care physician in the community.
So the primary might be popping in, just checking, or they aren't involved at all until after?
Afterwards, we recommend that everybody go back to their primary care physician within a week or two of discharge.
I mean, if they're inpatient and there is, lack of a better term, some specialist, and that's, I don't mean a hospital specialist, but that's following them. They're going to rehab. He's going to obviously indicate goals that he, or that they, that are a certain level of functioning that needs to be met before they're discharged from the rehab.
Right.
And then, so you got your physician in the hospital collaborating with the physician at rehab, and that physician at rehab then is collaborating with the primary care physician.
But it sounds like it's more of a handoff than a collaboration.
It depends. Like your, if it's an orthopedic patient, they're usually seeing the same orthopedist in the hospital.
As well as post.
When they're at Golden Living, and then when they go home, if they still need it. So the specialists usually stay the same. The kind of quarterback of that changes a little bit.
Great. Is there, besides the renal unit, is there anything else special going on at Golden Living that might be of interest?
All the Atlanta area Golden Living buildings, we've, through Aegis, have recently signed a contract with Hanger Prosthetics that we are each other's preferred provider, and we have excellent relationships with their prosthetists.
And tell us, say that again,
really,
3 times. Tell the listening audience what Hanger specializes in.
So they specialize in below knee and above knee prosthetics. They also do upper extremity prosthetics. They do braces and orthotics. So like somebody after a stroke, if they need something to help with their foot, they can do that. They have a wide range of things that they can help with.
And as it relates to what we do, the prosthetics for balance issues as it relates to the seniors, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't you all do outpatient rehab as well?
We do, yes.
How does somebody get that if they're at home, but they need some...
Yeah, they need an order from their doctor. And then I'd need a copy of their insurance card, and we'd verify their insurance.
No, Pauline would need the copy of the insurance card. I know how this works.
Now, can you share some advice for that person that's going through this for the first time? Like, what are some do's and don'ts or some things that'll make this process a little easier?
Ask lots of questions.
Like, there's what? What are some questions? Because we don't know what we don't know. You know this.
See, and Pauline made reference, mm-hmm. and you're rightly, and we in the industry have got to be mindful that this is foreign language.
True.
It's a foreign language, and you've got to start at the basics. I mean, look, and you made a reference to managed care versus Medicare, and you know the managed care that she's speaking of is all commercial insurance.
Right.
That's and we use mm-hmm. terms that are confusing. You use a managed care policy in front of someone, they got no idea who you're talking. They just know that ABC Corporation provides this health insurance. They don't know who's covering it. They don't know any specifics about it at all. And if they do, the detail is too much. It overwhelms them. I preached. I'll get off.
No, well, what I do, and I think it's important first, when they come out, at least to our facility, myself, and I also have an admission coordinator, we sit with the family and we let them talk. Tell me about your family member. And if they're really not too sure in some things, I can prompt them. You know, what brought your mother to the hospital? What was she doing before she went in? Her prior level of function is really important. And by sitting and talking with them, you get a better picture of what their needs are and whether we can meet their needs here. And then I will take them on a tour. And I think one of the most important things I tell them, we're not an acute care setting. We're a subacute. The acute care is the hospital, not the subacute. We are a transitional unit. They're stable enough to leave the hospital. The physician has signed off. But now they're coming here to do more for themselves and try to get back to that prior level of function.
But they're sleeping there, right? This is a place
it's
where they're
inpatient.
And having all their meals and everything. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So do you all do 3 meals a day?
Yeah.
Meals a day, snacks. We have two dietitians full-time. We have 3 full-time social workers and 2 nurse case managers who manage the insurance patients. So every patient is assigned either a social worker or a managed care nurse.
Now, what happens, like, say the rehab portion is an hour or two a day? What are they doing the rest of the day?
We have an excellent activities department.
So, like, there's, like, things like what, fitness? Like, you...
They do some exercise groups. They're even doing...
Is there social stuff? Is there movies? Like, is there things like that? Because you have to occupy 24 hours every day.
There are movies. We have a van. Some of our nursing home patients and even our short-term patients, they're able, if they're stable enough, they'll go out to Walmart. They may go out
so
for
lunch. So you
have
a shuttle bus that takes them places if
yes,
they're able?
We do.
Now, let me ask this question, and I probably am confused. You said you're subacute. Mm-hmm. Somewhere, and it might be the acute rehab, they have to have 3 hours of rehab per day. Is that the acute
That's
environment?
That's the acute, okay.
Acute rehab.
Right. Yeah. Is there a limitation minimum from your standpoint for the subacute?
In order to stay skilled, unless nursing is doing it primarily, they do have to have at least one discipline of therapy. And it's a minimum of 30 minutes a day,
okay.
Roughly.
All right, that's fine.
So what are the types of therapies?
So we have physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech-language pathology or speech therapy.
Physical therapy, I think we know. Speech therapy, typically for, I would say, stroke victims and things of that nature?
Not always. So they address swallowing issues, making sure they have the correct consistency of both food and liquid. They work on speech production, word finding, also work on cognition, so safety awareness, judgment, memory, problem solving. So a lot of things that begin to falter a little bit as we get older.
Now, is it typical for a patient to have be in all three disciplines, PT, OT, and speech therapy, or is there just one? How does that work?
Physical therapy and occupational therapy eval everybody as they come in, usually within 24 hours. And then speech therapy screens everybody that comes in. And if something flags, then they'll go ahead and do a full evaluation. Sometimes they're like, you know, nothing's showing up right now, but down the line a little bit, the occupational therapist or the physical therapist says, hey, take another look. As we've gotten into higher level things, some things are showing, you know?
Great. Mary Jo, anything else?
I think so. Contact information.
Well, yeah. Before you get there, either one can answer.
Advice?
Yeah. I think Lee even addressed it. But if someone knows that they're going into an acute inpatient setting, there's probably a great likelihood they're going to be going to a rehab afterwards.
Especially if they're older, right?
Absolutely. Older folks.
So is there something that they can do beforehand to kind of prepare, to kind of get the ball rolling? What piece of advice might you give them?
Always visit the facilities. Mm-hmm. Research online. Call the facility. You know, see if they're responsive to your needs over the phone. I think that's really important. It's good customer service, and you really want to assist them. And really just be an advocate for your family member.
Do you, and I don't know if mm-hmm. this is true, is there a bed shortage? Is there an issue of coming out of acute inpatient to a rehab and not being able to get into a rehab?
No, I would say,
We always have patients that are discharging home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Continuously.
All right. Great. Well, we certainly thank you.
Website?
Yeah, I was going to, I don't know who, Pauline?
Golden Living, goldenlivingcenters.com, and they can Google us. And
what number could they call if they'd like to speak with someone?
404-256-5131. Mm-hmm. That is the main number into the building. Mm-hmm. The admission office is 404-847-1346. That's my direct phone number.
Well, we appreciate it. I told you it would go quickly, and
it did.
It was good information. We thank you, Pauline. Thank you, Kimberly, for being with us.
Well, thank you for having us.
And we want to invite you back. If down the road there's a new discipline that you're bringing on board, you let us know, and we'll be glad to do this again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We want to thank the listening audience for being with us, and once again, Kimberly and Pauline for joining us. And we want to remind the listeners that they always can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show at ugeriaradio.com. And as always, we want to close and say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.